chapter number 24. We're going to be almost getting through with Acts. Man, I tell you what, I love staying in the book of the Bible, in a book. We've been through several books here at the church. Acts, we're about to close up with in a couple more weeks, if the Lord's will. But tonight, in Acts chapter number 24 tonight, we're going to begin reading in verse number 24. Acts 24, 24. And tonight, I want to talk to you tonight. When truth is brought to your attention, what do you do with it? I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. Acts chapter number 24, in verse number 24, the Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent him the offender and commune with him." Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I love you and I thank you. I'm grateful and thankful tonight for what you've put in my life, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that you saved my soul from a devil's hell. I thank you tonight, Father, that you've gave us a place to come and to worship you tonight, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, Brother Kelvin has no idea what he spoke tonight, Father. It had already been in my heart and on my mind this week, Father, as I read this text. Lord God, tonight I pray we always preach and teach the truth behind this sacred desk. But Father, I pray it don't stop there. I pray we preach it and we teach it in every Sunday school class. Lord, I pray we do it in the nursery. I pray, Father, we do it in the women's ministry. I pray we do it in the men's ministry. Lord, I pray it's all over this church, wherever you sit, wherever we go, Father, that the truth is being taught. Father, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Be with all the prayer requests that's mentioned tonight. Lord, we lift them up to you tonight. Lord, we pray you touch every need that needs to be met tonight. Father, the woman that's on Sister Tanya's heart tonight, Lord God, I pray somebody be able to stop by and share the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with her, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you have your will and way in every situation that we do in this place. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the blood. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, we're going to talk about when truth is brought to your attention. When truth is brought to your attention, what do you do about it? Here, Paul had been bound physically here. He was in jail. He was in prison. And he had been bound physically. Hey, but I say to you tonight that Felix was more bound than Paul was. Hey, Paul may have been bound physically, but Felix was bound spiritually. I would a lot rather be bound physically than bound spiritually. Tonight, can I say to you, to be bound physically is awful, but to be bound spiritually is even awful. I mean, it is terrible to be bound down spiritually in our life. But here they came to a crossroads and had to make a decision. It's not always easy to make the right decision when you come to the crossroad in your life. When that gospel and the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is brought to your life, it's not always easy to make the right decision. It's not always easy, even as a saved man tonight, it's not always easy to go with the right decision. It's not always easy to go against the crowd and to go against the grain. But here, when he did not waver, he did not go against the word of God, but he stood true with it. And tonight, to make that right decision when we're confronted with, it's not always easy, but we always will make a decision when it comes to our plate. We'll either make the right decision or we'll make the wrong decision. And tonight, I want you to look. You've always heard this, and I have too, that Felix, he said, "Come at a, I'll call you when there's a more convenient season. I'll call you when it's more convenient." We always like conveniency. That's why we have convenience stores. That's why we have fast food. That's why we have padded pews. That's why we have nice lights. That's why we have nice buildings. That's why we have screens behind us, because we like conveniency. That's why we have heated seats in our cars. That's why we have air conditioning in our vehicles. That's why we have homes that are heated and cooled, because we are people that like, hey, to have things convenient. But can I say to you tonight, when you come to the realization of who Jesus Christ is, it is never a convenient time to follow Jesus. Because when you come to know Jesus and you do what He's called you to do, there's going to be some times it's not going to be convenient. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? He said that when he heard that, when Felix heard something, that he trembled. And I want to look tonight at the three things that Felix heard that made him tremble. Folks, I want you to know tonight, I thank God that the Word of God, when a man hears it, he'll tremble, don't you? Brother Kelvin, I thank God tonight behind this sacred desk that the Word of God is being preached and it makes people tremble. Hey, come to the altar. It ain't me. I'm not a preacher that makes people tremble. It ain't me, but it's the Holy Ghost of heaven. Can I get an amen? Friends, tonight it ain't this church that makes people tremble, but it is the Word of God. And I want to look at three things tonight that made old Felix tremble, and that ought to make us tremble as well. Number one tonight, he said in verse number 25, and as he, talking about Paul, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He talked about three things that old Felix had to get right. And number one, he said the righteousness is what he talked about. When you come here tonight and the truth came to Felix's plate, number one, he talked about righteousness. And tonight, as your pastor, I could come in here and I could brag on you and I could pat on your back and I could tell you that you're so righteous and that you're so holy and you're so all this, but that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says that my righteousness is as filthy rags. And tonight, I want you to know, when he came before Felix, he said, I want you to know about righteousness. He came before him and he said, before a person can ever be saved, they must know that they're lost. Hey, you don't brag on somebody and tell them, hey, you need to be saved. Hey, you're a good old boy or you're a good old girl. Won't you come and get born again? Hey, you got plenty to offer the church. Won't you come and be a member of this church? Hey, listen to me tonight. It ain't on what the world's got, but it's on what Christ Jesus gave at the cross of Calvary. And when he got here, he talked about righteousness. And old Felix got to trembling. You know what old Felix was? He was not just a wimp. He was a man. He had things done. He could say to this one, do, and they would do. But when he got on righteousness tonight, old Paul brought it before him. And here's what he said here. In many days, look what he said, and he reasoned of righteousness. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When he started telling him about Jesus Christ and the gospel, the first thing he told him, that righteousness does not come from an individual, but it comes from Jesus Christ. He is the righteous. He is the righteous judge. And this Thanksgiving season, I thank God that none of you are my judge. I have one judge, and he is a righteous judge, and it is God Almighty. Amen. He brought up righteousness. And look what he said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you'll also turn with me and look in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10 to when you start talking about, and it's brought to your attention, the truth of the Word of God tonight. And number one, it'll show you the righteousness of God, and we don't have it in us. Unless a person be born again, there's no righteousness in them. Righteousness comes from above. Amen. Look what he says tonight in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10 tonight. We done seen we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, but preacher, you don't know who my family is. Preacher, you don't know the church I attend. Preacher, you don't know really the state that I have and the life that I live and where I've come from. Can I say to you tonight, the Bible's right all the time. Amen. Woo! Glory! I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Now, it don't matter if I preach here, if I preach over yonder, no matter where I preach, whoever I preach to, whoever you talk to, that there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen? And you and I are guilty of setting people on a standard that they're more righteous than other people. Huh? But the Bible says, look what he says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, he said it's done written down, there is none righteous, no, not one. He said, there's not one righteous tonight. And as we come tonight, we see when the truth is brought to Felix's attention, number one truth he brought to him was the righteousness of God and what God can do. And let me give you this. People are no longer sinners today. Did you know that? In the world we live in, people are not sinners today. I remember back years ago, and I've not been saved but 16 years, people were sinners. When you went to a church, a preacher preached on sin. He preached on hell. He preached on the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of man. But not in the world we live in today. People are no longer sinners. Let me give you what people are when they come in to a local body church. And I've heard it said many a times, a hospital's nothing but a place for sinners to come. A hospital's a place for sinners. Hey, but have you ever seen a hospital where you went into and you told the doctor what to do and you acted like you wanted to act and you did it your way and you did it ever how you wanted to and you misbehaved? You know what? It wasn't going to be long. They'd have to get out the back door because that doctor ain't going to put up with it. Can I say to you tonight, the righteousness of God must be in this place. Amen. Let me give you this. People are no longer sinners today. Here's what they are. They're sick. People are just sick. Well, they've done something wrong, but they're just sick. They're not really. It's sin. They're sick. They're addicts. Oh, they're just weak. They're just weak. No, it's sin. Tonight, they just made a mistake. No, it's sin. Paul brought that to Felix's attention, and it stirred something deep down inside of him tonight. You know what tonight in my life that I have realized more than anything? That I am just a sinner saved by grace. By the grace of God, He has saved my soul. There is no righteousness in me. The only righteousness that will come out of my lips or off of my hands or where my feet will travel will not be because of me, but it will be all because of God Almighty. If you could do what you wanted to and go your own way, it would not be following God. It's because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of you and it lives inside of me that drives me that way. Nobody seek God. God sought us. We didn't go seeking God. People don't come in this church just seeking God. Think, well, today I think I'll be saved. Today I think I'm going to do righteousness and I'm going to do good. Oh, no. And that's what he told him. He said, listen, God loves you, but he is the only righteous one. Tonight I see number one, he had righteousness is what he said. And the truth hit him right in the face. But I want to move on here. Number two, look what he gave here. He said, and he answered for righteousness and temperance. Righteousness and temperance. Let me give you what temperance is tonight. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance. And you know what temperance is? Self-control. No, you don't see that a lot in the world we live in. You don't believe me? Go on a 30-day fast. Get you a length of something and see how much self-control you got. That I can't touch that. I can't touch it. I got to restrain from it. I can't have it. Self-control is out the window anymore. But when he told him here, he said, I want you to know, I'm going to tell you about righteousness and I'm going to tell you about self-control. Felix wasn't afraid to steal. He wasn't afraid to cheat and he wasn't afraid to kill. Does that not sound like the world we live in? People are not afraid. They don't have no self-control. They do what they want to do. They do what feels good and they don't care who they hurt or who they harm. They do not care. Felix here, he wanted Paul to come talk to him, but he didn't want to really hear the gospel. And when Paul came, he brought up righteousness and he brought up temperance and he said, listen, there's got to be self-control. And in this situation, the only one that had self-control would be Apostle Paul. He come under control of the Holy Ghost and allowed him to use him. But let me give you this. Do your own thing. It doesn't matter is what's going on in the world we live in. Can I say this to you tonight? Yes, it does matter if you have self-control or not. If you have self-control or not. A man never cheats on his wife unless he has no self-control. He's lost control of himself. He lets himself go on. Kids disobey parents. Why? Because they lose all self-control. They go on. What is that? That is sin. That is sin tonight. And that's what happens. And he was telling him here. And nobody tonight, listen to me, wants to hear about self-control. Man, you need to have self-control. You need to get under that control tonight and control it. Listen to this tonight. I'm going to give you this. Yes, it does. No self-control. If you don't have no self-control, it will lead to sinful living. No self-control will lead. I wrote that down, highlighted it, marked it. No self-control will lead to sinful living. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Number one, he brought up the righteousness that Felix wasn't righteous, but God was. Number two, he brought up without the righteousness of God, you can have no self-control. You can have no self-control. Let me give you the third thing. Here's where I want to stop for just a little while, if I can. He brought up, number one, he brought up the righteousness. it made him tremble. Tonight, man, it scares me to death, the righteousness of God. Brother Donald got up today and read scripture. He's giving an account for that one day. Getting up, reading announcements, just getting up here behind his desk, you're accountable for it. Oh, whoo. Every person sitting in the pew tonight, here's the word, you're accountable for it. I'm accountable for it. Tonight he said the righteousness, temperance, and then he said the judgment to come. He told Felix, he said, listen, you may think you're righteous, and you may think you have self-control, but there's a judgment to come. And tonight, that's what I want to talk about for the next few moments, the judgment to come. Tonight, he said, and judgment to come, and Felix trembled and answered. Here was his answer when he heard about righteousness, temperance, and self-control. Here's what his answer. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. You notice all the I's in there? When I have a convenient season, I will call. No, you don't do the, no. Now, you may have called him one time to come to you. You may have called Paul to come. God sent him to you. Listen to me tonight. God's knocking on your heart's door tonight. God's knocked on your heart's door, and you keep shutting that door. There may come a time you can call on God, and he won't be nowhere near you. He said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden. Come. But there's going to come a day he won't do this. Come. He said, he didn't have another season. It didn't come. The conveniency didn't come. It ran out. It ran out. Do you know how many people was going to get saved at 11:59 before midnight, and it ran out? They didn't make it. Man, that's something to think about when the truth hits you. He said, he trembled at this. Turn with me. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot these verses down. Turn with me tonight, if you will. And he said, the judgment to come. Here's what he talked. Hebrews 9:27, if you have that tonight. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27 tonight, if you have your Bibles. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. I want to show you this tonight, talking about the judgment to come. He said, preacher, can I escape judgment? No. Can I get out of it? No. Is it coming? Yes. For every man, woman, boy, and girl, judgment is coming. Listen to this tonight. In Hebrews 9:27, here's what the Bible says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. There's an appointed time for everybody in this room. That made him tremble. Brother John Stidham, we're standing here getting ready for the baptistry. Brother John said for years he's been miserable because he was scared of dying. Said he was fearful of death. That's what he told right there standing for his getting the baptistry. He said, but after I asked Jesus into my life, man, I don't have that fear. That fear has been taken away. Listen to that. He said, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, after this is what? The judgment. He said, I'm telling you about a judgment to come. I'm telling you about a judgment to come, and the truth is right in his face. The truth is right there. Let me give you the second thing. If you're keeping notes and you want to jot this down, there's a judgment to come. It's appointed. But number two, every idle word will be judged. When you don't think nobody's around and you talk about somebody, you give an account. You're accounted. When you run somebody down, you're accounted. When you build them up, you're accounted. Good, bad, you're accounted for it. What you put on Facebook, you're accounted for. Well, I hit the wrong button. I didn't know it. You're accounted for it. It was your button. You're accounted. Man, I'm telling you how important this is. And judgment's here. It's getting so close. This world's not going to last forever, and you're not neither. We're all leaving. We're all leaving. Man, me and one of my buddies a while back, he's a game warden. He'll be here preaching one day. We went to set up a tent. He said, go with me. I want you to go with me and set up a tent. Man, we're going to run over tonight. I just can't help it. Hey, it ain't Wednesday night. Amen? We don't get paid on Wednesdays, so it ain't Wednesday night. And we went up there, up in Gwin somewhere. Man, we way off over yonder. And we popped that tent up and had stakes. I said, you going to put them stakes down? He said, no, it ain't going to stay here always. He said, I'm going to move that thing around. I thought, and God spoke to me right there, and he said, that's exactly how you are. Don't stake nothing down here because you ain't going to be here. Stake it down in heaven because that's where you're going. And if you don't want to go to heaven, go ahead and stake it down to hell because that's where you're going to be. Man, he spoke to me so clearly. I said, what are we going to do with them stakes? He just threw them in the back of the truck. He's like, of no count. He said, it ain't going to stay here. Man, that spoke to me so clearly how that there's going to come a day that I'm not going to be here. So why am I trying to stake stuff down here like I'm going to be here forever? I'm trying to stake it down and get it put down and make sure everything, this and that, make sure this is took care of and that's took care of and everything that's going on in my life, and I can leave here tonight. Believe it or not. You say, preacher, this is Thanksgiving. I'll show you this tonight. Every idle word you're going to give, I'm going to give an account for, and you will. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 36. Brother Kelvin, you don't have a clue what you spoke tonight. I would not want to bring nothing from the sacred desk without backing it in Scripture. Man, Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 36. Every idle word will be judged. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about when you had a blow up and you went crazy? And then you try to go back and make it right, and they say, yeah, I forgive you, but you know they really didn't. Really deep down there, they still something there. Look what he says here. He says, when he heard about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, here's what Paul gave him. Look what he says. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every word's going to be accounted for in the day of judgment. Can I give you something else tonight that we'll go to in the Bible? Not only is appointed a day in every idle word. Man, old Felix is trembling now. But I'm going to give you the third thing. Every deed that is done will be judged. Not only the word, but the deed. Not only the word that you spoke, but the deed that you done. Sister Tanya, as you spoke tonight about that lady, if she receives that deed or not, it's your place to pray for that woman. Amen? You said she rejected it, didn't want nothing to do. Hey, but people are still outreaching. Why? They got a deed. Amen? Look at this tonight, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. If you're taking notes, write this down. There's a judgment to come, and that's what he told him. And he started trembling. Man, he was upset about this. But there is a judgment. To every deed will be judged. Man, I think about that tonight in my life and all that I have to. Woo, boy, he's been better than good to me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. And here's what he says. This is talking here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Deeds will be judged. Every idle word will be judged. There's appointed a day to judge. And you say, well, who's going to judge me, preacher? That's my last point I want to give you tonight if you're taking notes. And Jesus Christ will be the judge. The same one Felix is trying to get him to come and be a, hey, come on, be a follower, man. Repent. Give your life to Jesus. I know you're a judge. I know you're all this. I know you're highfalutin, but come on, man. You're going to die that way. Get out of your own righteousness. Get off your own long nose and get on this and get over here with Jesus. Man, you think you control everybody. You've got no control. You ain't got temperance. You ain't got self-control. And he said, I want you to get out of that because I'm telling you the truth, because there's a day of judgment coming. And he said, the one I'm telling you about, this Jesus. See, we preach Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But listen to me, that son's going to be the one judge you. What you do with the son is going to determine what the father does with you. Folks, man, that is serious tonight. So serious. What you do with the son is going to determine what the father does with you. Brother Brent, somebody just waylays Jake Gunner right in the face, slaps his jaws. You going to hug his neck and love on him? No. What you do with the son? Acts 17, verse 31. Whew. Jesus Christ is going to be that judge. Felix said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. When God's knocking at your heart, that's as convenient as it's going to get. I talked to a man this week, and here's what he told me. He said, you know, after I got saved, if I do right, man, I'll have no problems. But if I start doing wrong, man, conviction comes and it wears me out. I said, you know why that is? And he said, no, I really don't. I said, here's why it is. I said, fruit of the Spirit, which such there is no law. You can love, be gentle, have self-control. You can do all that all you want, be temperance, meekness. Hey, and you're not going to get conviction for it. You love people. You do what God's called you. You just keep doing what God's called you to do, showing that fruit of the Spirit. You're gonna have none. But you start not doing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's going to come all over you. Because that's what conviction does. Acts 17:31, because Jesus Christ will be the judge. Because he hath appointed a day, talking about God, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. But I thought you said he wasn't going to judge the world in righteousness. Oh yeah, he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man. And by righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him, talking about Jesus, from the dead. That's going to be your judge. Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that's going to be there. That's going to be there. I heard a story told, and I'll leave you with this. Said it Felix Trimble. Said a young man, every time he got in trouble, and I've told this story many a times. Every time he got in trouble, he run to this lawyer. And every time he'd go to that lawyer really liked him, thought a lot of him, and he'd get him off the hook. He didn't have no money to pay him, didn't have nothing, but every time he got in trouble, he'd get him off the hook. He'd go free. He'd cap on and on and on and on. Well, one day he got in trouble, and he called that lawyer's office. And that lawyer didn't answer. He went by that lawyer's office, and that lawyer wasn't there. He looked everywhere for that lawyer, couldn't find him. Well, it was day to go to court, and he walked into the courtroom. And he looked up, and he seen that lawyer. He seen that lawyer up there, and he said, "Hey, man, hey. And that guy almost didn't even know him. And he run up to him, and he said, "Hey, man, you remember who I am?" He said, "Yeah, I remember who you are." He said, "Man, you was my lawyer all them years. You was my lawyer all them years. You can get me off this. You can get me off." And he said, "I can't do it no more." "What?" He said, "I've done all I can do." He said, "I'm not the lawyer no more. I'm the judge. And you're in my courtroom. Just take your seat right over there and I'll get to you." So that young man squalled, did everything under the sun. Right now, Jesus Christ is wanting to be your advocate. He's wanting to beg for you, pardon for you. He's wanting to do everything for you. But you're going to be judged on what you've done with Jesus Christ. And if that don't give you something to get shouting about, man, I don't know what will. He trembled when the truth come to him. We don't have to tremble. We can be, I'm telling you, we can be just so thankful this Thanksgiving season to know that nothing righteousness come from this church, comes from anybody but from heaven, from God, man, straight through here. And that no, we ain't got no fighting going on in here and people going crazy because we're not only, we don't control ourselves, we're under the control of God. He's controlling us, helping us, giving us that temperance, that self-control, because it is a fruit of the Spirit. And we try to walk that way, here's why. Because we know there's a judgment to come. This Thanksgiving season, you're going to go places and I'm going to go places that we're going to need self-control. Amen? We're going to need self-control. Just be the hands and feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but man, I enjoy what God has done in my life. And I thank him every day for saving my soul. Father, we love you, and Father, we thank you. Father, I pray right now that you bless these people real good. Lord, I pray this Thanksgiving season as they're be going to families, families be coming to their house. Lord, I pray that, Father, we just do exactly what you've called us to do. The truth's been brought to us tonight from the Word of God. Lord, the truth was brought to Felix, but he said at a convenient season. Lord, I pray whoever tonight would pray, "I just had one more convenient season. I pray this would be the night. It would be convenient that you would knock on that heart's door for whatever they need tonight, whatever they got going on." Lord, I thank you tonight that there's a judgment to come. And Lord, I thank you tonight that he is a righteous judge. He's a just judge. And Father, I thank you tonight that I'm in your hands. Lord, I ask you to bless this service tonight. Watch over the ones that will go out tonight. Be with the kids that was in the youth room, be with the ones that was in play practice, be with the college kids. Lord God, bless them tonight. Bless this group I got to speak to. And Lord, I pray that we just continue to love on you. In Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen. You are dismissed.